Hi, welcome back to the Mindful Space. Today we have Brandon Bostic. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay, perfect. I have to ask every guest because it's kind of confusing. All right, so let's start from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about yourself and professionally and personally.
Okay, so my name is Brandon Bostic. I'm 33. I'll be 34 in May. My birthday's May 3rd, so.
Oh, Taurus.
Taurus.
Nice.
Very Taurus. So I'm 33, I'll be 34, played 5 years in the NFL, so I went to Newberry College, so I went to college for 4 years, so I played 5 years in the NFL. I graduated from there recently, during COVID actually, so that's part of my story.
Nice.
So I graduated during COVID, so I went back to school during COVID, so I graduated, so I got that, so college
graduate. What did you graduate with?
Sports management.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Of course.
Yeah,
makes
of course.
Sense.
So I went to school for that, played 5 years in the NFL. And now I'm a business owner, so I own Sage Elite Healing, which is a mental health practice in Denver, Colorado. So that's kind of my story.
Perfect. Well, going back to playing the NFL,
mm-hmm.
How did you get there? When did you get drafted? How did it all begin for you?
I wasn't drafted.
Oh.
Undrafted.
Okay, let's talk that part then.
No, you could have let that roll.
Let's rephrase that question.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have rolled with it.
Don't worry about it. That's what we have him.
You felt bad saying?
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to say something that you're not. Okay.
But that doesn't sound correct. That's like, that's kind of like the thing. Like, everyone thinks everyone gets drafted to sports, but everyone doesn't get drafted.
Okay.
So it's kind of like pretty cool if you go undrafted.
Okay.
Because you wasn't chosen, but you made it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll say it again.
Nah, you're good, nah,
but I do want you to explain that, though. So just put it in your answer, because that was pretty cool. So going back to the beginning, the NFL, how did you get into it?
I was undrafted, which means I wasn't selected. Like, no teams were looking to pick me up on their team, so I had to go try out. So I was undrafted, so I had a trial in Green Bay.
Okay.
I went there, had a trial, and I just made the team, so... I was undrafted. I played 4 years at Newberry. So I went to college 4 years, had a pro day. Pro day is where like all these teams come and you just show them how fast you are. You show them how strong you are. Mm-hmm. You just show them your skills. So I did that. The draft came. I didn't get drafted, so I wasn't chosen. So then Green Bay Packers called me for a tryout. So I had to go there to try out. It's a 3-day mini camp. So you had like a 3-day trial, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you just practice and just show them how good you are.
Yeah,
so,
just showing off a little.
Just showing off a little. But I didn't get signed there, so I went
really?
Home. I got sent back home. So I went back home for a month, kept training, kept working out, kept chasing the dream.
Yeah.
Then they called me, and they said they wanted to sign me. So that's when I started to.
Wow.
I guess that's when my dream came true. So
yeah.
What was that? That was like June, I want to say 2012. So
okay.
I was... almost 10 years now, so it's been a while.
Oh my God. And that was your ultimate goal, right?
Yeah.
At that point, that's what you were going for. That was your one thing.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do since I was five. It's funny, we're talking about this. I asked my parents, because I can't remember how long I was playing football. So I'm like, Mom, how long have I been playing football? She's like, you've been playing football since you were five. I'm like, damn, that's all I ever known. That's all I ever did was play football. Sports, not really football. I play football, basketball, and baseball. So sports is just my life.
Yeah.
So.
Did anybody else in your family play football at all?
Yeah, my brothers, my dad's, my cousins, everyone played football.
Okay.
Sports was the way out back in South Carolina, so that's what everyone did. And I just got good at it. I just kept achieving at it, kept excelling at it, and just then I got big and I got some size and I just kind of took off with it. So
yeah. Now, how was your mental health while you were in the NFL?
Ooh.
Looking back on it.
Yeah. Well, I would say up until 2015, when the traumatic event happened, I didn't know what mental health was. I didn't even think about mental health. I never even heard of that word, so I never even knew what it was. I was just so focused on football and just trying to get my mental to a place where I could compete with NFL guys, you know? So that's where my mental was. I was so focused on this warrior, this mentality, like, just get better every day. Like, you don't feel pain. You have to have this like gladiator mindset to play. So that's what my mentality was. So I didn't really think about mental health. I didn't know what it was until something bad happened to me.
Yeah.
And then
isn't that usually the case?
That's always seems like the case. You have to learn the hard way.
Exactly.
Just go through it and you figure out what things is. So
looking back on it though, Do you recognize some warning signs that maybe you missed?
Oh, so many warning signs. Now that I'm out of it, of course, I see all the signs.
You're like, I was bad. I was deep down in the hole.
I was deep in there. Deep in there. Okay. But definitely, I could see the warning signs. I could feel them for sure. But when you're in it, when you're not aware, you don't know what it is. You don't know your diagnosis. You're kind of just feeling it. You think it's not normal, but it's your norm, I guess. I guess you can say.
Yeah. Or you feel like, you know, I'm not the only one. It's normal. Yeah. People are feeling it. Yeah. It could be a sign of weakness if you talk about it. Yeah, or for sure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the NFL, I can see how.
No, even just talking, being a man, you know, just.
Exactly.
That's even kind of the thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be NFL. Mm-hmm. Maybe the masculinity.
Correct. As an NFL player, did you ever get paid or did you ever get support in the mental health field?
When I was playing, I was all for support, but I didn't really, I'm like, I'm tough. I'm 25, 26 year old. Okay. Like these, I'm good. I can just fight through it. It's okay. Like life is, I got all these things. I got money. I got fame. Life is good. I'm achieving my dream. So mental health wasn't really a thing, but, the support was definitely there. Now that I'm done, the support is definitely needed. Okay. So I got these benefits. You get mental health benefits. You know, you get all the therapy sessions and everything you need to, you know, for your mental health. So now that I'm done, I definitely use the resources a lot more. But when I was playing, I wasn't focused. Okay. I was more focused on football.
Money and fame.
Yeah that's all.
playing the game.
Just playing the game and living the life, you know?
Okay. But it is offered.
It is offered.
For all the teammates,
for sure.
Something. Okay. So that's good.
But
does anybody usually?
I was going to say, when I was playing, it wasn't like a... It wasn't like a known thing, like the therapists and like all these different modalities. It wasn't like talked about as much as it is now. I think it's definitely more talked about. People are more comfortable taking the resources and talking about the mental health and doing podcasts. So it's definitely more talked about now.
Yeah. I feel like there's definitely been an improvement.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. In your experience or in your opinion, do you believe or do you think NFL players have more mental health issues than maybe in other careers?
I do. I think it goes, football is a collision sport. You know, you always, and it's a mental, like you're always smashing your head, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what makes a difference. You know, you have that head trauma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, head trauma causes so many different things. So I think that's why football players have more mental health than others, because, you know, it's a contact sport. It's a very violent sport.
Yeah.
And the hits and the concussions, all that stuff add up. So I think that's why football players have more injuries and more concussions and more mental health.
I would agree. And then even going back to, like you said, the masculinity, mm-hmm. the tough game.
Yeah, and how you're raised.
Even culturally, yeah. You're just trying to, like for you, for example, mm-hmm. it was your way out, right?
Yeah.
So
whatever it took.
Yeah, whatever it took.
Yeah, that was the mentality.
Exactly. When did you notice your mental health declining and why?
I would say 2015. Playing an NFC Championship game, like, that's when I started to notice that I was having all these different feelings and emotions that wasn't what I was... It wasn't normal. It wasn't healthy.
You were used to.
Yeah, it wasn't what I was used to. So I started to feel like I wasn't happy all the time, or I was just depressed all the time and just not motivated. Okay. I didn't really love football like I used to. So just going through those things, that's when I started to realize, like, Brandon, like, you're not the Brandon, you're not the 5-year-old, you know, you don't really love football like you used to.
Weren't finding, like, the passion.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wasn't working out as much. I didn't really take football really serious as I did before, you know. So that's when I started to realize that my mental health wasn't in a healthy place.
Yeah. Now, I know there was this one traumatic mm-hmm. event or this one event that happened that kind of triggered a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind telling that story?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So what was it? It was 2014 season. Mm-hmm. So I was on the Packers, Green Bay Packers. So 2014 season, we're having a good season. We make it to the playoffs. We beat the Cowboys. Then the last game before the Super Bowl, which is the NFC Championship. So we're playing the Seattle Seahawks. So the score is 19-14 with 2 minutes left. Ooh. 2 minutes and 14 seconds. I'll never forget this moment.
You're like, I know all the details.
I know all the details of it. Obviously, because I work on it, I go through therapy, so I can easily talk about it. But, so it's 2 minutes and 14 seconds left. and we're lining up an onside kick. And onside kick, you know, we're receiving the ball and the team is kicking. So they're trying to get the ball back from us. All we need to do is catch the ball and we win the game and we go on to the Super Bowl. So I'm on the front line. They kick me the ball and I jump up for the ball, which that wasn't my job. I was supposed to block. Okay. So my friend can catch the ball. So I was supposed to block. My friend was supposed to come catch it. But in the middle of the play, the ball is kicked in the air. And my instinct is to go get the ball because that's all I ever done. You know, football, I play. Catching the ball is just natural. So my instincts kicked in. I, when they got the ball, I'm like, oh, shit, that's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You're supposed to block. So I didn't catch it. So I was like kind of in between catching it and blocking. So I didn't do nothing. I dropped the ball. The other team got the ball. Then I just black out. Like, I don't remember.
Really?
I don't remember. Yeah, I was obviously I know now because I've watched it and gone through it. But from that moment to the sideline, I don't remember what happened. So I just get to the sideline. I just sit there. I just remember, like, the stadium is going crazy. My teammates are screaming at me. My coach is yelling at me. I'm like, whoa.
Like, yeah, really, like, just, what did I just do?
Yeah, what did I just do? Like, my life just went from reaching my dream to, like, this could be over for me. You know, that was a big mistake, you know? Like, you cost your team a chance to the Super Bowl. So I went through that and just kind of blacked out and just all these different emotions, all these different feelings. So I went through that. Then I had to do an interview in the locker room. That kind of just really,
oh my God,
that really just, I guess, started my mental health because I was just so overwhelmed with thoughts and emotions. Yeah. And they asked me about something that just happened. And it was just,
you didn't even remember. I don't even remember. Like, guys, just, I blacked out. I'm in shock.
I was just, you know, I was so much going on myself. I went through that and that kind of started my mental health journey. And just things just went down from there.
Yeah. What kind of, I know you got a lot of backlash from your fans, even from.
Yeah. From my fans. They were.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
But I thought that was normal. I thought it was normal for people to criticize you.
I mean,
as a professional athlete, but not in a racist way or a way that it degrades a person to a point of mental health issues, you know? So that was the first time me experiencing that, like people calling me the N-word or just getting death threats in my email or just over a football game. So it was very overwhelming for me to deal with that. And then I was already dealing with it for myself. You know, I was already beating myself up about it mentally. Like, I was just doubting myself. I didn't think I could catch. You know, I just didn't think good thoughts about myself. So it's all these unhealthy thoughts. And then I was getting it from the outside world. And then I got released from my team. So I was just, like, just in a bad spot.
It's like a domino effect.
Domino effect. Like, everything just overwhelming. Everything just piled on me at once.
Yeah. So at that point, that's when you were really at your lowest, you would
say. At my lowest, yeah. But I still was trying to play football. I still had a career, you know.
Okay.
And at that point, I always include this point. Because in the NFL, you need three and a half years to get your pension, like your benefits, like your 401k, all those things. So if you don't make it to 3.5 years, you don't get those. At this point, I was at 2 years. So I'm like, damn, like my career could be over, but I need another year so I can get that. So I was depressed and I was having all that just happened. I'm like, damn, but I need another year. So I had to kind of like rebuild myself up mentally to go play football, even though I didn't want to play football, to get that year so I could have my benefits. So, you know, so I always tell that part because that's what like kept, that's the only reason I kept playing football.
Okay.
Just so I could get my, because
what
are you playing football for?
Exactly.
I just wasted it, not wasted, but I just didn't get. I just didn't achieve
the goal. Benefits that everybody wants. And
that's what you play for, you know, and that's what you set yourself up for, your family. So that was the reason why I just kept playing and pushed myself to keep playing.
Okay. And at that point, did you prioritize your mental health at all? Or did you cite it for another year so you could focus on the playing?
Well, that's interesting. There's some events that happened in between there. So after I dropped the ball, after the event happened, the season was over. So the season was over. At the end of the year, every year, every team has like exit meetings. You know, you meet the coach, and you kind of get your end of the year progress report. You tell them how you feel, like how you did throughout the game. So I did that with my coach, and I was telling him, I asked him man to man. I said, "Am I gonna be here next year?" You know,
like that. Tell me truth.
Yeah, man to man. Like, am I gonna be on the team? He's like, "Yeah, you're gonna be here next year. You're good." So I'm like, "Okay." Kind of felt good about myself. You know, I had a good year. He said I was gonna be in the plans. You know, I was starting to. Move up the depth chart. I was starting to get more playing time. So I'm like, okay, like I messed up that play, but I just talked to the coach. he said that I'm going to be here next year. So I'm like, okay, I got that. We're going to be good. So I went home off season. I was still partying. That's what I did. So I just partied. As soon as I just drank, party, just whatever. That was what I was doing for coping. That's all I knew. I didn't know therapy. Like, I didn't know mental health.
You probably didn't even know you were using it as a coping mechanism.
I didn't at all. I just thought it was fun and I felt good. So I did that. And then I got a call. I'll never forget. I was in Houston. I was partying. I had to fight the next day. I got a call from Green Bay. I'm like, who the hell's calling me from Green Bay? Yeah. I'm like, this isn't good. And it was the team. Come speak to Brandon. I'm like, yeah, this is him. They're like, okay, like, we're going to release you. Like, we don't, pretty much means like you're cut. Like, you lost your job. I'm like, holy shit. I'm hungover in bed. Like, I just lost my job. Like, I just talked to the coach. Coach said I was good, but I wasn't good. So I got cut and I got released. So after that, I had to fly to Green Bay and I just moved. So that's when I started to go down south. I got cut. Then I went to the Minnesota Vikings. So I got signed by the Vikings. Went there, partying, and just not really loving football. I was coming to Miami like every weekend.
Don't blame Miami. Come on. I was
coping with Miami. This is crazy. I was just coming to Miami every weekend. So okay. I would just work out during the week and then party in Miami on the weekend. I had a girlfriend in Miami. Miami was just, it was love. That's where my peace and happiness was. I was going to Key West. I was just doing all these different things, but still not focused on football. So I went to the Minnesota Vikings, got released there. Then I went to Arizona Cardinals. And this is where I was living at the time. So I lived in Arizona since 2012, and that's where I live now. So I go back home. I'm playing in my hometown team, so that was even worse for me.
Really?
So I'm hometown. Of course, I'm just all my friends there, so I'm going.
Oh, okay.
That even that more party, and just more craziness. I'm like, man, still not focusing on football. So then I get cut from there. Then I go to New York, and this is probably like my last chance. Coach is like, you're starting to get old. Like, you're just bouncing around on teams.
Yeah.
The word is starting to get out. Like, you're not really focused on football.
Yeah.
So I get signed by the Jets. So I make the Jets that year. Then I make it 2016. So I was just partying the whole time from 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Then I got my diagnosis. That's when I started to change my life around. So my coping mechanism was just partying, just doing whatever I could to make myself feel good. So that was...
Yeah, to like numb yourself.
That's what I did for 5 years.
Nowadays, you're clean. You're sober.
Yeah,
you're still
I'm not
a
sober.
Here and there.
I don't drink to heal. Drinking exactly. Is my coping mechanism. It's more of a social...
Like, I'm still sociably a sociable drinker.
Yeah, I'm a social drinker. It's not a coping mechanism, but...
I think it has to do a lot when people... It's the relationship you have with the substance.
It is.
More than the substance itself.
Yeah.
So if you're able to heal your relationship with whatever it is for some, then you can have a balance, you know, not for others.
Yeah.
But,
so I got that balance. I'm doing more things to help myself in healthy ways. Like I said, I do therapy. I have my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I do yoga. I meditate. So I do more healthy things than drinking. So drinking is more of a social activity now.
Got it. Now I might just be like a scotch.
Yeah. Tequila.
Tequila.
I drink tequila.
Okay, nice. Margarita.
Good margarita. Spicy margarita.
Nice. All right. Great.
I kept playing. I was depressed and doing all. I had all these mental health issues unknowingly. I didn't know. I was just going through it. So I was partying, drinking, doing drugs, doing everything I could to make myself feel good in an unhealthy way, of course. So I'm doing all these things. And finally, it caught up to me. I got drug tested. So I got drug tested. Mm-hmm. And I fucking failed a drug test the last game of the season. So I got suspended for 4 games. I was partying and drinking in New York. This is when I was on the Jets, so this is 2016. The event happened 2015, so 2015 I just partied, drank, and just did all these unhealthy things, but still trying to play football. And then I got signed to the Jets, and then I played 15 and 16. So I played 2 more years after that traumatic event. So the last game I ever played, I failed a drug test. So I suspended for 4 games. So that's when I started to notice my mental health. I'm like, okay, like this is just getting crazy.
Yeah.
So that's when I went to the treatment facility.
Okay.
So I did. Damn, what did I do?
Did they make you go to treatment facility or was this your choice?
This is my choice. This is my choice and my agent's choice. Like, let's go there and get yourself in the right mindset so you can play football and continue your career. So, damn, I want to say I did 8 weeks there in 2016.
Okay.
So I did 8 weeks to go, like, get my mind right, like, see what's wrong with me. So... But I didn't get diagnosed. I was just there.
You didn't? That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, I didn't get diagnosed. So
Were they just treating like the substance abuse thing?
Okay. Treating substance abuse and just trying to get me back in the league. That's what I wanted to do. So I went through that for 8 weeks and then just didn't get back in the league. My career ended.
Now, so at this point, you are out of the treatment facility. You're still playing football.
Still trying to play. Yeah.
Okay. At what point did you get diagnosed?
Ooh, that was 2016. I didn't get diagnosed until 2020. COVID.
Oh, my God.
COVID. So 16, 17, 18, 19.
Just kept going.
Just living miserably in a dark place.
You're like living.
Living.
Or I thought I was.
Thought I was in a dark place. So I was just living. Didn't have, like I said, I didn't have my degree at the time. So I didn't have a college degree. All I had was a 5-year career. So I had my career. I didn't have a job. I didn't know what was next for me.
Mm-hmm.
The traumatic event happened, so I was just in a bad place. I didn't know what was next, so I just did whatever I wanted.
Yeah, you're just taking it. I mean, you were doing the best you knew how to do. And
but then COVID hit, and then there was no distractions.
Then you really had to confront everything. Yeah.
So that was kind of that was the light for me. So COVID was kind of bad. I guess it was bad, but it was like a blessing for me.
Okay.
That's when I got diagnosed, and that's when I figured out, like, social anxiety, major depressive, where I started to get my diagnosis. I'm like, okay, this is what the diagnosis gave me confirmation of what I was feeling, you know? So I know, like, okay, this is what I feel. This is
finally
why I feel that way.
Yeah,
I got a name for it. And that kind of just opened my eyes to, you know, like, just how I can heal and how I can, because I knew I was going to deal with this for the rest of my life. I'm like, I might as well just learn about it.
Exactly.
And get used to it and just make friends with it. So that's kind of what I did.
Yeah. I always say that, you know, it's like going to the doctor. Somebody tells you have bronchitis or whatever, like, you treat it.
Yeah,
right?
You do.
And once you know that something is happening in regards to your mental health,
mm-hmm.
then it's almost unavoidable to just go and treat it, right?
Because
you feel like, okay, well, I have to do something about it.
Yeah.
But sometimes that journey to discover the diagnosis can be so long,
mm-hmm.
like for you. It was years before
it was,
you know, cut off to
that happened 2015. I didn't get diagnosed until 2020. So that's 5 years of just unknowing, just going through it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got diagnosed, you did the treatment facility, you went through all that.
Mm-hmm.
In your official diagnosis, correct me if I'm wrong, is depression and anxiety.
Severe social anxiety and major depressive disorder.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, severe social anxiety while playing for
the NFL. Right.
Oh, wow.
I think that came from more of the social media. Mm-hmm.
The questioning. Media.
Yeah, just not wanting to be, like, everywhere I went, everyone was like, oh, you're that guy. Like, you're Brandon Bosick. Like, so that kind of gave me some anxiety about myself and just wanting to be me or just not wanting to go places. So I think that's where the most of the anxiety comes from.
How do you deal nowadays with your depression and social anxiety?
I ask myself that all the time.
Because
like,
people are going to keep talking. I'm sure they still identify you
they
with
do.
That
For
one
sure.
mistake because people are mean.
Yeah.
But how do you deal with it now?
Therapy. I go talk to my therapist. And like you said, I know I can't control what other people say about me. So I have to control how I feel and how I think about myself. So I try to work on those things. I can't control people tweeting or just saying anything. So I try to control myself, control the things I can control, and just know that that mistake doesn't define me as a person.
Exactly.
And people make mistakes all the time. But mine just happened to be, you know, broadcasted.
You just happened to be in the NFL.
I just happened to be in the NFL.
So
I started to learn those things and just know, like, I don't know, just don't take things too serious.
And don't take it personal.
Mm-hmm. And other people, I know people are dealing with their own stuff. So I know people splash.
Yes, you know, projection is a real thing.
For sure. So I take all those things into account. But some days it gets to me, but some days it don't. But I know that, like you said, that mistake doesn't define me as a person anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a new mental health facility. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about mental health.
Yeah.
You're like an advocate for it. What kind of feedback have you received?
So much.
From the people. Is there some positive light in it?
It's so much positive and so much light. And just, it's healing for me to know that what I do and the modalities and my journey and just talking about it helps other people. Because it helps me too, you know, just it helps me process it and know that other people are feeling the same way I'm feeling some days. So yeah. It's all connected for me. If I make someone else feel better, it makes me feel better. And I just know, just from being around people, mm-hmm. serving people is the way to make yourself feel better, or, you know, just a way out. Because I know sometimes when I'm in my depressive modes, I'm like, what can I do to make myself feel better? And it's mm-hmm. usually doing things for other people is the way that usually makes me feel good about myself.
Yes. And that's why you're getting into this field more and more, right? Mm-hmm. Did you get good feedback from your teammates maybe now that they realize what you were going through all those years?
It's funny. I don't really have many teammates that – I have like a couple teammates that I play with that I still talk to, but football is a weird brotherhood. Like you play with these people, but you're not really connected, you know?
Like you're connected while you're playing, but yeah, but like that,
when you're done, like you go your separate ways and you just live a different life. I'm a single man. Most people have families, and so there's just so many different things. So you don't really connect with the people you really play with. But I have a couple friends that I'm still friends with, and just starting a business, helping other athletes who went through the transition. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I do now, my purpose, and that kind of gives me that fills my cup.
Exactly. Wow, and I wish you the best of luck with the mental health facility.
For sure.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to start and do and continue. Now, as you continue this journey, because it's not, like you mentioned, it's not one thing that you're done working on it. I got diagnosed. That's
the first thing I asked my therapist. I'm like, when is, because in football, you know, you can work out, you can achieve your goal. Like if I don't lose 10 pounds, I'm like, okay, I could achieve that goal, and then I'm lost. But I'm like, with mental health, it doesn't really. I'm like, how long am I going to deal with this? When is it going to end? Like, is it going to get to a point where it's going to be over? It's like,
it doesn't work like that.
This is lifelong. This is something you have to get to know, and just.
It just becomes more manageable.
Yeah, that's what I learned. Like, before I went into mindset, like, okay, I got this. I'm going to work on it, and then I'm going to heal it. Like a sprained ankle, you know, I'm going to heal it, I'm going to rehab, and I'm going to be done with it. But it's like, nah. This is just whenever it comes and it goes, whenever it wants.
Yeah, especially depression, it comes in waves too.
Yeah, and cycles. Know? So mm-hmm. I learned my cycle. I know like how many days it's going to come. And when it's, like, I'm like a female.
It's like having your period.
Yeah.
I know my cycle. You're like, it's been 30 days. Time to just relax and not socialize because I will take it personal.
I know my cycle.
Why are you
now
breathing so hard? Stop breathing.
That's funny.
Now, what is your ultimate goal going through this journey?
I'm still trying to find that. Still trying to find my ultimate goal. Because like I said, I've been playing football since I was 5. And that's what I always wanted to do. And I reached that. I'm like, damn. Like, I didn't think, like, I'm going to reach the NFL, then I'm going to do this. Like, no one ever thinks like that.
Or, I don't think.
Like, there's no backup plan. Like, you kind of have to go for it. Like, if you're going to go for it, you have to be 100% in. Mm-hmm. Or you just won't make it. Or you just, you know. So that was my goal. But now I think, I don't know. I'm still searching. I think obviously I want a family. I know that. So start a family, raise kids. So I think that's next for me. And my business, you know, grow my business, start to help more people, start to tell my story more, just start to do more for mental health, for that kind of thing. So start a family and just grow my business and just help people heal.
I think that's a great start. Yeah. I think you're doing great. And I think you're in the right path for you.
Yeah.
And if you're helping people along the way, then I mean, I know that's why I do my job.
For sure.
It's definitely fulfilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those that might be struggling through depression, or for those that might be, you know, that are an athlete or struggling, and for anyone that can relate to your story, what would be your advice?
I'll say just be vulnerable and get support, get the help that you need. I think when I did that, that's when my life changed. Because I said I was going through it, and I was still performing at a high level, still in the NFL. So I'm like, if I don't got the support I needed and the help I needed and talked about what I was going through at that time, you know, I could have maybe played a little longer. You know, my career would have been different. Yeah. Life would have been different. Maybe I wouldn't have, you know, just so many what ifs. I don't like to live in that world. But, you know, just things could have been different. So just be vulnerable about what you're going through and just get help if you need it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think obviously it sounds easier said than done, but it's important, you know, to talk to, even if it's a family member. Yeah. You don't have to go directly to a therapist. Just talk to a good support, have a good support system and communicate and be vulnerable.
For sure.
Well, I love this conversation. I could keep talking for hours, but I think we're good.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
For sure.
Thank you guys for watching. If you like what you saw, please leave us a comment and don't forget to subscribe. We'll see you next week.